Welcome to the V-Wave Podcast. This podcast is brought to you by River Runners for Wilderness and is created by a cast of river lovers who understand the river resource comes first. On the shoulders of a healthy river do we recreate ourselves. What comes second is river access, a very thorny V-Wave, all in itself. The V-Wave discusses these things and river ecology, recent river trips, river history, river management, and new changes on rivers. Have a topic you'd like to hear more about or help discuss? Get in touch with me, your host, Tom Martin, at rrfw.org. That's T-O-M-M-A-R-T-I-N at rrfw.org. Special thanks to Char and Trev, who came up with this idea. This is the March 26th, 2024 V-Wave Podcast. Today we're speaking with Shelly Martin, and my name is Tom Martin. And Shelly, I don't think you and I are related, is that, as much as we know, is that right?
As far as we know, we've tried to figure that out before, but I don't. It's always possible.
Deep history. Well, Shelly, may I have your permission to record this podcast over the telephone?
Yes, you do.
Super. Thank you.
Yeah.
You were the lucky recipient of a Grand Canyon river trip launch as the permit holder. Can you tell me how you got that permit and then when you were first notified about it?
I have been applying for the lottery for years, and I've got skunked every drawing. So I had my five tickets in the bowl.
Okay.
And we were actually at the Grand Canyon in December visiting some family, and when we got home, I was going through my email, and I got my typical email from the river permit office, and I just assumed, oh, it's another rejection letter. And I opened it, and I kind of glanced at it, and I had to have my wife read it, because I didn't believe, like, wait, now this, Lynn, come and read this, tell me what it is I'm seeing. This, yeah, you want a permit. So
exciting.
That was, yeah, I was pretty stoked. And then
when was that? Was this in the regular February would have been last year, February 2023, for this launch you just completed?
It had to be, if that's typical. I mean, I thought it was in December, but...
Or did you go for a cancellation? Were you playing the cancellation lotteries?
Would they have done a cancellation lottery for 2024 in 2023? I guess.
Sure.
I don't know. I have that email somewhere. I know it was fully at least 12 months.
Okay, so that makes sense that it would have been last February. Not February of 2023, the main lottery. Okay.
It must have been a cancellation.
So yeah. You had a full when was your trip launch date?
Valentine's Day.
Nice.
So February 14th, yeah.
Okay.
Perfect.
So if this was 12 months ago, then you had a good amount of time to to plan.
I did.
So tell me, how did you personally prepare, and how did Lynn personally prepare, and tell me about your boat and what you were thinking about how you wanted your trip to come together.
I originally thought I would get my team together and find good solid oars people, and I would paddle my inflatable kayak.
Oh.
But then I had an opportunity come up in July to buy a new to me, barely used. The frame was used, but the tubes were brand new. They'd never been in the water. I got a 16-foot cataract.
Nice.
And so that was in July, and I thought I'd have a chance to get it out on the water in on the San Juan that summer, but that trip fell through. So I, at the last second, I joined a trip in September, August and September, and did a 16-day diamond or leave to diamond. Just to, Lynn and I both thought, well, that'd be good practice run.
Yeah.
So for my practice run, I did my first trip rowing down the Grand Canyon as far as diamond.
That's great. Lovely.
And it went well. It was fine. And then, so preparing for this, so I had that under my belt. You know, that's a fairly recent trip.
Right.
I had people in mind that I knew I wanted to go.
Did you tell the people who invited you on the December trip that you had spots on your Valentine's Day trip, and maybe you guys could work out a little share? Is that a little trade? Did that work, or was it, you know?
My permit, it was a group of people completely different than the group that I, than the trip I went with.
Okay.
Joined on in the summer.
All right.
Yeah.
Sorry, was that August of 2023?
23, yeah.
I'm sorry, somehow I thought it was December.
Oh, no, December was when I was on the South Rim in December.
Got it.
We were visiting some family that had come out there from the East Coast to see the canyon for the first time. Yeah.
Okay, all right. So let me get this straight. So last summer, you got the 16-foot cat. And then you had a chance to take it through Grand Canyon in August.
Yep.
All right.
I did.
So kind of fast, 16 days, but hot. Yep. Well, monsoon season maybe.
Yes, very hot.
Okay.
It was hot. Yeah, it was really hot.
Nice.
Comparing the two trips, I much prefer winter.
Okay.
A little more energy, just due to the weather and everything.
Yeah,
but,
yeah. How long was your December 14th trip?
My February 14th?
Yeah,
We did 22 days down to Pierce.
Okay.
With a night float at the end. I've always wanted to do that.
Okay.
And my safety boat woman was very much in favor of doing that. And so we put it together and, potted up the last night and did a night float. It was really cool.
Okay. We'll talk about that when we get there. Let's back up a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So how'd you bring your team together?
I met my my safety boater and her husband, my qualified boatman and her husband, who was my safety kayaker, at Papago Beach 6 years ago. I backpacked from the South Bass out the Tanner.
Okay.
And I knew I had a friend somewhere on a river trip. One of their trip participants is a good friend of mine. And so I kind of just had one eye out for them. I just assumed I'd see their boats, you know, from up on the Tonto somewhere if I got lucky and would just wave at them.
Uh-huh.
But I came down the Papago, climbed up the Papago slide and went down the little scramble.
Right.
And dropped down on the beach, and I saw this group there. And I was like, oh, my God, it's them. So.
Oh, my gosh.
Completely lucky. And
so let's back up.
My friend Kate. Yeah.
Let's back up for just a minute here. South Bass to Tanner.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Most people that are going to do the Tonto Trail are going to do it in little chunks, like maybe they're going to do, you know, the Tanner to Horseshoe, or they're going to do that. Now, maybe they're really going to go. They're going to do the Tanner to Bright Angel, or maybe they're going to do Bright Angel to Hermit, or maybe they're going to do the Hermit down to South Bass. But you bit off a big chunk there.
Yeah. I had done little pieces here and there. Like, I'd done, like, Hermit to Bright Angel, and I went down the South Kaibab and went out Grandview. My first trip was with my friends Gail and Mike from Kingman, and we did, we went down the Grandview and then out the New Hants.
When was that?
that would have been like 2011, maybe.
Okay.
So, and I've been addicted ever since. So.
Okay, lovely.
And then I, like, looking at him, I was at Desert Watchtower one after one of my backpacking trips, one of these trips, and I just stop at the Watchtower. I do every time. And just to say goodbye to the canyon, and I'm looking at it, like, you know, it would be really cool to just do this all at once. And so I just started thinking, what, you know, get somebody to bring me fresh new food and, you know, clean socks that maybe have a suit my gardens.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that's so I did. My friend Mike hiked, resupplied down to me, and then my wife and a couple of her friends, they hiked down and they brought me a spinach salad and ice cold soda. And
lovely.
It was awesome.
Nice.
Yeah.
So how long did it take you to go from South Bass to Tanner?
I took my time.
Good for you.
I got to have a soup by gardens in, I think, 5 or 6 days, and then I just took my time, and I took 2 days there. The Park Service gave me 2 nights there.
Great.
And then I made a point of, yeah, I mean, I think I did it in 14 days.
Lovely.
I could have done it in less, but I wanted to enjoy myself. So.
Lovely. Very nice.
Yeah.
So you are a rare breed that knows weeks at a time carrying your house on your back and then sitting on your house and rowing it downstream.
Yep.
How fortunate. Lovely. Okay. So let's back up again. So uh-huh. 6 years ago at Papago, you were on this backpack and you met a couple of river runners. And so you invited them on your trip. Awesome.
Yep.
Who else?
And then a couple of my friends from Colorado that I knew when I lived up in Boulder. And then Alan and Alicia, they are Alicia MacArthur and Alan Kemick. They're from Salida.
And they are amazing people. Tell me a little bit about them.
Yes, they are. They own Canyon River Instruction. Alicia's in India right now teaching a women's guide school.
Right.
Which has never been done before on the Ganges, upper Ganges. And I think Alan is on the San Juan right now on a solo trip. But now they are two of the most amazing human beings you'll ever find.
Lovely.
And a lot of experience. And so after I met them on that backpacking trip, I just kind of kept in touch. And then when I got my permit, they were two of the first people I reached out to. And it's funny because they applied for the same permit.
Oh, my gosh.
And I won their permit. So it was like, yeah, we kind of have to do this now. This is just meant to be. And they got a couple of their friends from Colorado and Utah. And their friend Jeff Kogel from West Virginia, he came out with his 13-year-old son who kayaked the entire thing. The only time that Monster, aka Shane, got on a raft was the one day that we had insane winds and he didn't want to paddle against the wind, and I don't blame him. And it was a flat section. But yeah, no, that kid is amazing.
So is Jeff for his partner for raising a child at 13 is like, oh, I'm gonna eat this up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, he was up for anything. Just, oh, yeah, I'll run through that. Like, okay.
Lovely.
To be 13 again. And then, you know, my two friends from Colorado that I've known forever, my friend Ben, he's recently gotten into boating. He has a 12-foot paddle cat with a little rowing frame on it.
Oh, very fun.
That's what he brought. This was his first big water trip. And he rocked it. I mean,
nice.
We all had no flips. We didn't have any flips.
Lovely.
So, yeah. And then my friend Michelle's a geologist, not a boater herself, but I backpack with her a lot in the Grand Canyon and elsewhere. So
nice.
Yeah. So we ended up with 9 companions, went on this voyage. It was a pretty...
And did Lynn go, or did she stay?
She did not. No, she couldn't. So she stayed home, held down the fort,
okay,
care of the pets and everything. So I owe her a huge debt.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you bet. Well, that's the way it goes. Sometimes Hazel goes someplace and I hold down the fort, and sometimes I go somewhere and she holds down the fort, and that's just the way partners work.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Way it works.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Okay, so what did you do with your food? Because it sounds like the team you brought together, Ben with his 12-foot boat, I'm assuming that Alan and Alicia brought their own boat. It's not like you're going to rent stuff, or did you?
We did. We decided to go with Saba.
Okay.
Just because thinking about how extreme last winter was,
yep,
none of us wanted to deal with digging gear out of snow, loading up trailers, hauling it. I mean, I took my cat and Ben brought his.
Okay.
Yeah, but, you know, you break them down, that everything we needed fit in our pickup trucks.
Yeah.
So we rented 3 18-footers from Saba,
uh-huh,
and we did their food pack.
Okay.
Just to make that process easier, too.
Okay.
And
yes.
Yeah, it was perfect. We did the, you know, less time in the kitchen meal plan. So
okay, good.
Some boil and bag meals, and the food was all really good. There was more than an army could eat. And, it was just nice to be able to get going on dinner and be done in a couple of hours.
Yeah.
You know, and just be able to relax.
Nice. So, I totally understand about living at high altitude and thinking about trying to dig all my stuff out from under the snow in December,
yeah,
or January to put a trip together, and how easy it is just to rent the gear and have a company that has the stuff all inside anyway and just rolls it out on a truck and takes it away. Yeah.
Yep.
Very good. Okay, so Lee's Ferry then on the 13th?
On the fort. Yeah, we pulled into Lee's Ferry. We spent the night of the 13th there.
Yep.
And
okay,
the ranger, because they're only launching one private trip a day during the winter, he offered us the boat ramp to sleep on.
Oh,
so
nice.
Took it. Yeah. So, yeah, I slept in the back of my truck. I mean, it was just made things a lot easier and a lot less stressful. We didn't have to, you know, force ourselves to be ready, because it took some time. We took a little bit of time getting rigged that afternoon and
okay,
set up and going through all the training and everything on the water filters. And
right,
we'd all been through it before, but they have to kind of make sure that you hear the spiel anyway for liability reasons. So,
yeah. And did the ranger do their spiel that afternoon as well, or did they say, okay, we'll be down at 9 in the morning and do it on your day of launch?
He came down and said, if you guys want to take a break, we can go through it right now that afternoon that we rigged. So
great.
It was a little later in the day, but yeah, I think he was bored. So there's not a lot going on down there in February. So he was more than happy to hang out with us, and it was an interesting check-in. Lots of storytelling, and
okay,
he was a character. I can't remember the ranger's name, but he was a pretty cool guy.
Was his name Steve Bridgehouse? Kind of a
maybe
middle-aged, kind of older guy.
Outgoing.
Yeah.
Okay, that might have been him.
Maybe from the North Rim, down to cover.
Yeah. I think so.
Middle-aged, kind of a short crop beard, maybe?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Okay.
Is
one of the most amazing interpretive orientation rangers that I've experienced.
Okay.
Definitely informative. But self-effacing in such a way that one wants to listen.
Yeah.
Lovely orientation.
Yeah, it went really well. So,
okay.
You know, no issues. We all had everything where we needed it and when he needed to see it. And
okay.
Didn't have any problems with any of our year. It was pretty slick.
Great. So the morning of the 14th, you wake up, and boats are there on the ramp. You get them together. You get loaded up roughly. Do you remember about the time you pushed off?
I think we pushed off around 10:30 or so.
Lovely. Okay.
That morning, yeah. And then we went down and camped at Soap for our first night. We didn't see anybody else until maybe Nanka Weep.
Okay.
I think that was the first time we actually met anyone.
And did they come down on you, or did you meet people that were camped there when you arrived?
They were already there.
Okay, so they were doing a layover.
So we just stayed. Yeah, they did. And then, they were going to do one night. Their people came and talked to us and traded information, and that was our first layover.
Okay.
They offered to lay over there so that we could have blacktail. I mean, they were really cool. At one point we were talking about sharing, hitting the same camp, and they said, no, we'll just lay over and you guys take whatever camp you want. And it all worked out really well. So they were really cool.
Lovely.
Yeah,
I mean, that's just, that's a model to live by.
That's how it should be.
Yeah. Well, it's how it can be.
Yeah, it's how it can be. Yeah.
Let's back up a little bit, because between Soap and Nanko, there's a lot of fun little rapids. How did day two go?
Day two.
House Rock.
We had one person wake up with a stomach bug, a 24-hour stomach bug.
Oh.
We think it might have been food-related because nobody else got anything and there was no fever involved.
Okay, all right.
So they were kind of like curled up in the fetal position on one of the 18-foot cargo rafts for most of it. So I felt bad. They recovered very quickly, though.
Okay.
House was... So the water level was, I think there was less water this for my trip than the trip I did in the summer. So
yes,
it was
summer would have been constant 18.
But I had in my head, for the first time how I kind of wanted to approach it. And we all had really good runs.
Lovely.
So it was fun. Yeah. It was a hoot. Actually, I think my line on house this trip was cleaner than the last one.
Okay.
I didn't get spun out of control at the bottom like I did before, so.
Good. It's all practice. Lovely.
But watching kayaks. We didn't have kayaks on my summer trip, so watching the kayakers run the bigger water was really cool. I mean, I've seen pictures and video, but to see them in person is just fun.
Very fun. And then where did you camp down below there? Do you remember?
Let's see. Down below, north.
Okay.
Camped at North Canyon.
All right.
Yeah.
And then from north, you would have headed off into the 20s.
The Roaring 20s.
Yeah.
And, the Roaring 20s were, they were fantastic. It was, we all had really good lines. Ben got washed out of his fat cat. I don't remember what rapid it was. I remember glancing up and seeing him and thinking, oh, swimmer. And I went to get my whistle. And by the time I got it up to my mouth and looked back up, he was back in his boat. So he self-rescued within seconds.
Lovely.
I was like, we don't need to worry about him. So he was right on top of it. But Georgie was really a hoot. We all had really good runs all the way through. And then costume night that night. So that was fun. We all got our Roaring 20s garb out.
Where was that?
Yeah. We got down to, let's see. I had wanted Buck Farm Buck Farm, but we didn't get quite that far.
Yeah, it's a long way. Long days.
And we got delayed with the stomach bug. Where did we end up below? What would be the first camp on the right after you get through the 20s?
Like near mile could have been Fence Fault, right in there, above South Canyon.
Yes. We camped at South Canyon.
Oh, okay.
Actually. Yeah, and because people wanted to stop and check out the petroglyphs.
Sure.
And the rim block that's up there. And then, we got that far.
Okay.
Which was nice. Actually a really nice camp. I liked it.
Yeah.
We saw some hikers, some day hikers had come down from the rim and were heading back up. I think they were day hikers. They were carrying day packs.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you bring your own firewood or were you collecting and burning?
I brought 3 or 4 bundles of firewood, just smallish bundles, and then in case we couldn't find any on our way down.
Mm-hmm.
And we ended up being able to stow that and save it until after the 1st of March.
Okay.
The ranger was pretty cool about, he says, well, so after March 1st, we can't collect driftwood. He says, yes.
Right.
But can we bundle it up and take it with us? He says, well, you would have a hard time convincing anyone who stopped you when you actually collected it.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. So we did have firewood in reserve, and we had campfires every night that we needed them until the end. So.
Nice. Very good.
But, yeah, there was good driftwood. I was surprised at how much there was, but, yeah, it was never a problem. So.
Good. Very good. So got to Nankweet, and that was your first layover.
Uh-huh.
And what did you do on your first day off?
Everybody slept in, and we all did, like our chores, got the solar panels out. Our camp looked like a small solar farm. There were solar panels everywhere. And charged back all our batteries and lamps and lights. Of course, we all various times hiked up to the granaries. I hiked up with my friend Michelle from Colorado. We hiked up Nankweet Canyon. It was kind of cool to see the creek again. I backpacked it a couple of years ago, and she hadn't been down there before, so
nice.
That was kind of cool. The light was perfect. I was really go around the corner and you can see the north rim and just the snow up there. Yeah, it's winter up there.
Yeah.
But, everyone's running around in shorts and t-shirts. It was really quite nice. The water was colder in February than it was in August. But,
okay.
Yeah. And then, just kind of relaxed, read, caught up on journals, just kind of all just hung out, did our own thing.
And then before you left, did the next trip that launched the day after, did they show up or did you not see them?
We didn't see them.
Okay.
And
you mentioned there was a trip at Nankweet. Right. Okay.
Yeah, so they were ahead of us, and they were the ones who offered to stay there a second night so that we didn't bump heads trying to get our camps on down below Grapevine. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then, so where did you go from Nanko?
From Nankweet, we went down to, did we camp at, it might have been Papago again.
Okay.
We originally had planned on Crash Canyon. We stopped at Crash Canyon we camped that night at Carbon.
Okay.
Yeah. And hiked up the canyon a ways there. We also stopped at Crash Canyon and hiked up the canyon. We didn't go as far enough up to see any wreckage or anything.
Okay.
I've always wanted to go up there and see that little canyon, which is really pretty.
It's lovely.
Yeah, it's a nice little hike.
Yeah.
So.
For Carbon, that could set you up for the Carbon up and over to Lava Chuar.
I'm sorry. We camped at Lava Chuar and hiked up that canyon rather than Carbon.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Because we didn't want, nobody wanted to bump a raft down. We weren't sure how to pull that off, I guess. Can you? There isn't really a way to hike up.
Yeah, the way you could do that is if you camp at Carbon, you basically then some people float down. You leave enough boats at Carbon, and you float down to Lava Chuar, and then you have two groups, and one group walks one way, and one group walks the other way, and you high-five each other in the middle, and the people going upstream then get in the boats and come back down to join the people that are waiting downstream, and off you go.
Okay. I will have to remember that trick for next time.
Yeah, or you have enough people that can move the boats, stay with the boats at Carbon, and the rest of the tribe goes up Carbon and down to Chuar, and then the people who move the boats down, and so you have people, some people take the water highway, and some people walk around.
Yeah.
A couple different ways to skin that, so.
Right on.
Yeah.
So we hiked up from the lava side.
Got it.
Ways in the evening, and yeah.
Nice. Okay, and then next day then set you up to the run for Papago.
Yep. Went down to Papago, stopped and visited the Ankar Delta.
Okay.
And some people hadn't seen that before or taken really any time to look at it.
Okay.
And, I really love that site. It's one of my favorite sites.
Nice.
Down there. So spent a couple hours wandering around and got a good look at Ankar Rapid, which is always fun. And yeah.
Lovely.
And then down to Papago.
Okay.
Originally we thought Neville's, but then we were talking. It's like, well, since the three of us met here at Papago, and that is what started this whole fated trip to be, that we decided that we should camp at Papago again.
Well, that's very fun. Very cool.
Yeah, fun.
I wanted to ask you, at this point, had you seen any mice in camp or not in the kitchen?
The mice. I read stories. I'd seen reports, some of your reports, and the thought of Groover mice just absolutely horrifies me.
Yeah, me too.
So we were all really looking for the mice. We had one mouse that got in our hand wash bucket.
Okay.
And he is now fish food.
Yep.
But we didn't have any other mice incidents that I know of. No, that's not true. At some point in the trip, one of us had a mouse chew through their dry bag to get at a granola bar, and she found it in the dry bag when she was packing up in the morning. So that was a bit of a surprise. But we were putting away the dishes at night and just not leaving anything out for them. We were really careful.
Okay.
Make sure the lid was on tight on the Groover and the trash is closed up tight. So we had a couple of apples that got chewed through the crates, but we don't know at what point that happened. It might have happened at the put-in, that night at the put-in. We're not sure.
Okay.
But, so relatively free of mice. We saw a couple further downriver as it got warmer, running around in the sand in the evening, but none that really did any damage or anything.
Okay.
And I didn't have to abandon the trip because of Groover mice trauma. So.
Yeah, good. Good. Yeah, that's the first time I ever saw that, and I was just like, I cannot, you can't believe it. Where's my camera?
No.
Yeah, you got to photo document that one. It's hard to believe.
That's not right.
It is not right. You're exactly right. Oh, my gosh. All right, so you're camped at Papago. It's going to be a big day. You're heading. Did you have an exchange arranged on this trip, or was this an exchangeless trip?
Exchangeless.
Okay.
So started with the original nine and finished with the original nine.
Nice. Good.
Yeah.
Which is nice to make a team and keep a team without doing the bump.
Definitely.
The exchange bump.
Yep.
Yeah. So scouted Hance and then headed on from there. How'd that all work out?
Hance was fantastic. We were all very nervous about it. We got up on the scout and looked at it. It was like, wow, it looks really bony today. And Lisha just looked at us and said, well, how are you going to do it? And she just kind of paused for a moment and said, okay, I'm going to take my secret highway run down the far right side. And so we looked at it, and she showed it to us and traced it out. And was like, okay, well, you swear by this. I'll try it. Because the first time I did it, I, you know, did a downstream ferry past the hole into the duck pond and then out, and it was really bumpy.
Mm-hmm.
So Lisha went first, and I was second boat, and you just stay close to the right side, and there's that big boulder to the right of the hole up there, Emilio's hole, and there's a little tongue to the left of it. So I just centered up on that, and it was like an invisible hand just sort of drove me down through. I had to maneuver around one, tore off down toward the lower end. I just skirted to the right of that, and then I was out in the taillights, and it was done. It was really fun.
Okay, so let's run this past me again. Is this the far left run, or are you far right?
Far right.
Far right. Okay, so Emilio's then is going to be way off to your left.
Yep.
As you enter, you're kind of along this. Where is the rock you're talking about? That
it's at the top. It's close to the shore on the right.
Okay.
Almost immediately to the right. Like if you ran a line perpendicular to the current,
mm-hmm.
it's almost even with Emilio's hole.
And you went right of that.
They're going between them. I went to the right of Emilio's and to the left of this big.
Got it.
Older.
Okay.
Yeah.
So down the far right side tongue entrance there. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And you just have to you're gonna don't go too far left of that, or it will shove you off, and then you'll get into the monsters.
Right.
So trust that way that's pillowing up off of that boulder isn't gonna let you run up onto that rock, and it was perfect.
Okay.
Lift.
Cool.
Yeah, it just sort of centered you up on it, and down you went.
Lovely.
Yeah, I was pretty stoked.
Very good. And then sucked Alger and Grapevine and down to Phantom.
We stopped and camped at Clear Creek.
Okay.
That night.
Ah.
Sock and Grapevine were... They were fun. I had more fun with them this time than I did in the summer because I didn't hit them right the first time I did them. So, yeah, I just made sure I teed up really well. So they were really had good lines on those. We had, as soon as we got below Grapevine, as soon as we got out of the tail waves, the squall came down the canyon or up the canyon toward us. And so that was our first win, and it only lasted about, I don't know, half an hour, but it was strong enough that if you took your hands off the oars, it'd blow you up river.
Wow.
So that was my first experience with it. And my cat sits higher than the big gear boats.
Yeah.
But I was next to the last boat in line. The Groover boat was behind me, and even he was having a hard time. We were just getting pushed into eddies, and it was miserable. And then it just sort of, I don't know, burned itself out, moved on up the canyon.
Lovely.
And sun came out, and it was a beautiful evening. And then it started to rain again. So,
Was that the first rain you'd had?
On the trip, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. Good. And camped at Clear Creek, did you actually get a chance to walk up into Clear Creek a little bit?
I've been up there a couple of times, so
okay.
I didn't go. I kind of hung out in camp and watched the kayakers play in the swirlies in front of the eddy there.
Hmm.
A couple of people did hike up and explore. So yeah, we just kind of all did our own thing for the evening. And,
cool.
Yeah.
That could have set you up for a nice little visit up to Phantom if you wanted to go up that way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we didn't have... We stopped at Phantom the next day.
Right.
on the way down, they turned the water back on.
Okay.
Which I was surprised. I was not expecting the water to be on. So we were able to fill our jugs. There was a brand new wheelbarrow. That was exciting.
Woohoo!
The cantina was open, so we all stopped and got postcards and iced coffee and whatever else. You know, everyone else was kind of getting their stuff, souvenirs. All our postcards got to our people on the day we were driving back from Pierce. So that, of course, is always how it
works. Okay.
Get emails. Oh, I got your postcard today. It's like, oh, wow, I'm on the road back home. Slow mules. Yeah, so I love Phantom Ranch, that area. I always am happy to go down there.
And then where did you camp for that night?
After Phantom, we camped at, I think we camped at, we might have camped at Granite, above Granite, just above Granite.
Yep.
Does that make sense? Yeah. So we could scout Granite from there, and that was actually a really nice camp. I would camp there again, too.
Uh-huh.
It was really a pretty camp of the Cottonwoods, but we did have one person stepped off the boat wrong. Alicia stepped off the boat wrong and cracked a bone in her foot. So we taped her up real good with compression and ice pack, and she soldiered through the rest of the trip. I was afraid she might have to evacuate, but she was fine. She wasn't standing and rowing as much, but yeah, so Granite was an interesting camp. She said it was, because we got through Horn, we all had clean lines through Horn, and she felt that she was due something. Horn was going to extract something from her, and so we think maybe that was
her foot. Okay.
Her foot. So, yeah, I guess better than a big yard sale flip.
Exactly.
Anyway. Yeah, but yeah, no. Horn was interesting. Again, we all had got there thinking, oh, we're just going to split them and be done with it. And we got up to the scout and looked, and the wave between the horns looked really nasty, and none of us wanted to deal with it. So it's like, okay, I'm going to try to do this the traditional way. And I was terrified. I did okay. I mean, I didn't flip. I don't know that I'd call my line clean because I didn't get through the lateral below the horn as quickly as I wanted to. I was a little further downstream from the horn than I probably should have been, but I squared up and got through. And when I saw the wall on the right side whizzing past me, it's like, okay, I'm good. I kind of run up onto that thing.
The key term here is squared up. If you try that right to left run and you keep moving to the left, you'll hit things sideways, and then that can get you. But if you square back up again and you hit that big stuff down there straight on, well, you get wet, but your chances of getting through are pretty good.
Exactly.
Yeah. Good.
Yeah. So we all got through that, including the little baby cat.
Oh, my gosh. Cool.
So, watching him from downstream, I was pretty far down. He was kind of tiny, but it looked like he was having a fun ride through there.
Oh,
but,
good.
You know, we were all very happy to get through that.
Cool. And then to Granite. Okay, so up Scout Granite, and then on your way the next day?
Yeah, so next day we did, started out with, we had Granite for breakfast, and Granite is a fun rapid. That is actually, I think Granite and Upset are my two favorites, and I think it's just because you whiz past those cliff faces. Like, you don't really have time to enjoy the view as you're going by, but you're right up by the wall.
Yeah.
Like, oh, wow, there's just this invisible hand. If you get on there right, it just, like, squirts you right through, and then you're out the bottom.
Yeah.
It's just really fun. Yeah.
And Hermit, then, and Crystal.
Oh, Hermit. Yeah, Hermit and Crystal. I love Hermit. Hermit was a blast.
Mm.
It's just a giant roller coaster. And then Crystal, we stopped and debated. None of us went down the left side. We all did the right run.
Okay.
I think, so the gear boaters all said, no, you need to get out in the tongue fairly far to the left so that you have room to build up some momentum and cut through there. It's like,
really?
Yeah, but my cat, I don't need it on my cataract. So they all like kind of started on the tongue center to center left and then just like plowed through it. But Ben and I and our cataracts, they're smaller and more agile. We just sort of started out way right. I mean, I basically hugged the lateral on the right edge of the tongue and then waited for my rock that I was looking for to come by, and I popped through, and then I went too far right and went over a rock, but it was fine.
Lovely. That's all right.
But it was, we all had good clean run through there, and then we all went down the left side or the right side of the rock pile at the bottom of the rock garden. And I don't think anybody had any issues with that one either, so that one was clean.
Good.
Yeah, and
where did you camp that night? Did you make it all the way down to Bass area?
We did.
Okay.
First time camping at Bass for all of us, which is really cool. So some people did a little bit of hiking up and around. We got there fairly late in the afternoon. We caught the last bit of sunshine, which was nice.
Mm, very good.
Stopped and paid our respects to the Ross Wheeler. So it was a good afternoon. It was a good day.
Very good. And did you do a layover there, or did you keep going on then?
We kept going on. Our next layover was supposed to be at Racetrack, but there was a group there. So we went down to Owl Eyes.
Okay.
After Bass, we camped one night at Blacktail, which was really cool. I'd never hiked up that little canyon before. So that was just beautiful.
Lovely.
I went up early in the morning before we pushed off the next day, and you just get up there, you reach that point, you know, where all of a sudden the river noise just stops.
Yeah.
Someone hits a switch.
Yeah.
And then you hear that little tiny waterfall trickling up ahead. It's so cool in there. It was really beautiful.
Lovely.
Very peaceful, yeah.
So at Owl Eyes for a layover there, did you then row across the river to hike upstream up to Tepetz Creek or downstream to Deer Creek?
We did not. Looking at that, we didn't want to deal with that ferry at that particular level.
Right.
When we stopped at Owl Eyes, we kind of looked back and said, you know, there's that valley back behind that hill.
Yep.
And so we just, like, our the down day, we all kind of all did our own thing, and kind of little clusters of us at different times of the day just hiked way up that canyon.
Nice.
It's really cool back there.
Yeah.
And Alan and Ryan are both photographers. They have their big fancy cameras out. Ryan had a lens that's probably 3 feet long.
Oh my gosh.
He set that up with a tripod and got some amazing bighorn.
Oh,
there were
lovely.
Probably 30 or 40 bighorn sheep hanging out in that valley behind that camp.
Great.
It was really cool. Yeah, so spent the day just hiking up there, and again, got all this, built the solar farm and charged things up. And
yep.
That was actually a really nice camp. I didn't regret missing. I mean, Racetrack would have been fun, but the Owl Eyes camp is a much nicer camp, I think.
Yeah.
And then the next day we went over and stopped at Deer Creek.
Okay.
And then everyone except Alicia, she couldn't hike. We all hiked up to the throne room.
Okay.
In the back. I had never been back up there. And now I've got to do that Thunder River Trail and come down from the rim.
Yeah. Was there water coming out of the spring there?
In the throat, no, it was dry.
Okay.
Deer Creek was charging, but the little spring in that alcove was not running this time of year, so
okay.
I guess it dries up in the winter.
Depends on how much water's around. That's curious that it was out. Huh. Okay.
But, that was really beautiful and green back up there. I didn't realize there's a vault toilet up there, I'm assuming for backpackers.
Yeah, you bet. That's right.
Some developed campsites for some really nice looking backpacking sites. So I'm kind of thinking about my next trip, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And then where did you camp that night from Deer Creek?
From there we went down to, I think, below Kanab.
Okay.
Is that right? Below Kanab, or no, you may have gone straight to the ledges that night. But.
So up to the throne room in the morning, and then after lunch you guys took off and rode down.
Yeah. Yeah, that sounds right. Pretty sure we didn't do...
Would have run 150 mile and then gone to ledges.
30 to 10 miles or 11. No, we did below Kanab. We stopped at below Kanab. I don't think we did a 20-mile day that day.
Okay.
Yeah, we were kind of wondering what was going to happen with that. The group that had racetrack, they passed us on our down day, and we weren't sure what was going to happen. I mean, nobody lays over at ledges, so we did our below Kanab, and then we had that to ourselves. When we got to ledges, there was no one there.
Mm-hmm, right.
So that all worked out. Is Upset Rapid in there somewhere, or is that below?
Upset would have been below Kanab, of course. So you would have done that the next day on your way maybe to Havasu and then camping below there somewhere, I'm assuming?
Yeah, because we did stop and spend a couple of hours at Havasu.
Okay.
For people that had never been up there before, they all hiked up. Like, I had already not been up there and kind of just hung out on my raft and kind of pushed it back and forth to follow the sun.
Okay.
So there in the summer, I was pushing it back and forth to get into shape. this trip, we were following the sun.
A little
so
different there, yeah.
Very interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you're kind of dozing on your raft and all of a sudden you hear a voice and there's people floating down towards you in the creek. So.
Right, right.
So I just hung out, read my book, watched some fish. Yeah, it was a very pleasant way to spend some time.
Lovely.
So.
Yeah. And then camp from there?
Let's see. From there, we got ledges, and it was the first time I'd been to the ledges campsite. That was really cool.
So hang on. Let me make sure I get this right. So you guys were at below Kanab, and you went from there to ledges, which is still above Havasu.
Oh, okay.
So I'm like, wait a minute. Let me...
Just is at mine 156, and then we wanted to...
There is a ledge camp below Havasu on the right. I don't know, 158. I'm just guessing. I don't have my book with me, but somewhere like that.
At 156.3. Is that right? I don't have my notes with me either. I should. I can't get them though.
But it's kind of a ledge camp. I mean, you're definitely.
Yeah, like I set my tarp and cot up on a ledge that I had. Piled up all my gear to my side so I wouldn't roll off and end up in the river.
Oh, good.
Yeah, not that I would have. I'm not a restless sleeper, but I was like, yeah, it's right there. No one will hear me if I fall in there.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
Let's see. I've got to see. Where are we? Let's see. That would have been the day before. Okay. Oh, okay. Allies to Keyhole. So from Allies, we went to Keyhole.
Ah. Okay.
That was a short day on the river.
Right. So that wasn't below Kanab. That was, got it. Okay.
Yeah. Keyhole. And then from Keyhole to the Ledges Camp.
Okay, makes sense.
And then Ledges to Stairway. Stairway was the next camp.
Nice. Okay. So, yeah,
our schedule got bumped around.
As you pass 140 Mile Kanab, your trip is half over. Are there things at that point you'd wished you had, or are you thinking about things you're going to do differently next time right there at the halfway?
I think... We had our two layover days. We got thrown off. We could have had a third layover day, except we had the illness at the very beginning of the trip.
Right.
Which slowed us down
yeah.
the first couple of days. So we
sure.
ended up, off by 10 miles, river miles, on what we had planned as our tentative itinerary. I think we all kind of handled it pretty well. We just, nothing was written in stone, and there was no great disappointment if we didn't do this or that.
Okay.
My next time I want to at least stop at racetrack and go up toward, the Thunder River.
Yeah, up to Beach Creek that way.
On that hike.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we didn't do that. That they were spread from one end of that beach to the other, so
yeah.
it wasn't really a convenient place to just stop there. So
sure.
Definitely next time do that part of the hike.
Okay.
And honestly, Owl Eyes was a really nice spot
yeah.
to lay over. I would do that again.
It's a lovely place to get on a walk around, no doubt about it.
Oh yeah. Yeah, there's some nice hiking back.
So Stairway sets you up for lava. And how
yep.
did that work out?
It was fine. We'd originally thought maybe Fern Glen or Cove, but I'm glad we didn't because the large group that joined us at Lava, we passed them, and I think that that's where they would have been.
Okay.
Stairway was a nice camp, and we got to Lava toward the late morning.
Mm-hmm.
I think midday.
Yep.
And it was fine. I what I've always been told is get there as early in the morning as possible so that, the water level isn't, the water's going up. So you want to get as low water as you can. But we all had good runs. It was kind of weird. We all basically took the same line. Nobody ran left. Just get on the verbal line and then
mm-hmm.
punch through that lateral. All of us hit the lateral as close to the hole as we could, and it typewritered all of us down a little bit to the right, further right than any of us wanted to be on our run.
Oh, uh-huh.
But we all had good, clean runs. It was weird.
Good.
Hmm. Not dramatically, but, it just set you off a little bit, so you felt like, I got to push a little bit to make up. Lava is scarier from the scout to me than it is actually being in my boat.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
You stand up there and you get yourself all worked up. But the anticipation of that, I think, is what gets you going. Everyone was pretty calm, even the 13-year-old. He and his dad, Jeff, were talking through what they were going to do. And
good.
Okay, see you on the other side.
Yeah.
And then big party at Tequila Beach and broke out the costumes and got some sunshine, which was nice. And,
So did you camp there or did you move on down?
We probably spent 2 hours there. Probably spent longer than we should have. The other group that came through right after us, everyone was very excited. I finally got to see people row lava naked.
Okay.
So that was interesting.
Naked in February. All right. Well, the weather wasn't quite that bad.
Oh, no. It was, that had to be cold. I was in my dry suit every day except one.
Okay.
And then let's see, from where did we go? Wava to, let's go down to Polo Parashant. Yeah. Very well. Well, so we had planned on getting Parashant after Lava.
Okay.
And where did we go? Chevron. We camped at Chevron after Lava, so that was a nice camp. And then the next morning we got up and we were going to go down to Parashant. And that was when the real windstorm happened. And it started out warm and sunny that morning, and so I had on, I didn't start out in my dry suit. And then by the time I realized that I was just getting shuffled around by the wind, it was, I mean, I just, there was, we were getting blown everywhere, all of us, all five boats were getting blown around. Kayakers all got in the water except for Alan. We had three Michelles on this trip, so the other kayaker was a Michelle as well. I started to get, like, by the time we finally found a place to camp, I was bordering on hypothermic. But we were shooting for Parashant. We got there, and the naked boaters had taken that camp.
Got it.
So it's like, okay, we'll move on. And then we moved on down to below Parashant. That might have actually been the name of the camp.
Yeah.
And then it started raining. And so by the time we got into that campsite and pulled in, I had to, I finally just, like, got pushed into an eddy, and I was just, like, going around in circles. It's like, I can't do this anymore. So the kayaker, Michelle, she swapped me out and took my oars for me. And I got on the Groover boat with Ryan, and I just curled up in a ball. He gave me his rain gear. And by the time we got into camp, I was, like, pushing the edge of hypothermia, and I knew better.
Yeah.
I should not have. I knew better than to let myself get there, but I couldn't, I wasn't stopping to eat. I couldn't really stop to do anything, because if you stopped, you just got blown back up toward lava again, and I wasn't ready to go through that again.
You know, I wanted to ask you, did you guys do lunches? Did you build your lunches at breakfast and everybody eat on the fly, or did you stop at noon and do a, you did that? Okay.
Yeah, we had, I got a big stack of, like, little compartmentalized lunch tray things, Rubbermaid things.
Yeah.
So we all just built our, the first day we didn't, we stopped, and, you know, like a mile 9 or 10 and made our lunches, but then we broke out the tubs, and for the rest of the trip, we just pre-packed our lunches, and then Ryan's boat had the big snack box, the captain's box with all the snacks in it, so we would just converge on him. Whenever we needed, he'd throw things at you, you know.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah, lovely.
So that worked really well. It saved a lot of time.
So let's get back to below Parashant. You're really cold now.
Yeah.
How did you warm up? Everybody gets to camp, starts running around. I mean, you're just like, how did you get warmed again?
So Ben gave me, he pulled out, like, his heavy fleece and I think his down jacket. I got into warm, dry clothes. So I had two or three people, I don't really remember, getting me warmed back up and getting calories in me while, you know, the other six people pulled all of the stuff off the boats. And that was a long day.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it took us probably 2 hours to go a mile. It was just.
Oh, that's terrible. It's so hard.
You know how, and I don't know, I think, We figured probably 30, 40 mile an hour consistent wind, and I don't know what it was gusting to, but it was pushing the 18 footers around.
Right.
So the little cats were just getting.
Yeah.
Because I sit so high up in the water in that thing. So, yeah, so, you know, it was calorie deficient and probably dehydrated despite the rain.
What would what would you advise? Or how would you deal with that differently next time?
Next time,
Same situation, what would you do differently?
I would have just gotten into an eddy somewhere and stopped, had everyone stop and get my dry suit on, for starters. That would have helped with the temperature thing, and eat something, even if I, you know, you don't want to be the one, okay, everybody stop, I need to eat, but I really should have just done that.
So you have no passenger on, you have no passenger on your boat, is that right?
That's correct.
So it's not like you can say, hey, you row for a while, I'm gonna put on my dry suit and eat something. You're on all the time.
While I get dressed. Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So.
Yeah, exactly right. Then the thing to do is to say, hey, everybody, I'm stopping. I gotta get dressed. I gotta eat something. We're just gonna sit here for a little bit until I get sorted out, and then we're gonna go again. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
So, you know, the next day we woke up the next morning, it wasn't as windy, but it was going to be, you know, 20 mile an hour winds, but sunny. There was not any rain or sleet or anything in the forecast. So we had no idea that windstorm was coming.
Yeah.
Our Garmins didn't call for anything like that. We were checking weather reports. So the next day was like, okay, lunch, we're going to load up, fill your little lunch trays with quick snackable things that you can just shove in your mouth with one hand. And it was windier, but I don't know. I felt better. I was also dressed warmer. I just said, you know, screw this. I'm wearing my dry suit.
Yeah.
I don't care. And it was mostly a flat water day, but it made a difference. And I was able to stay with it, you know, the whole day.
Okay. And where did you end up camping that night?
After that, we went down to the opposite of Travertine. Let's see, wait, 205, yeah, we got, let's see, Moreland, Sanish. Oh, 33, we had 205 and 209. When did we do that? I should have my guidebook in there. Oh, we were going for opposite Three Springs.
Okay.
But there was another, the next camp down was on the right instead of on the Hualapai side. So.
Yeah, so below Three Springs, that you gotta run down 217 and go down to either trail or 220 mile.
Yeah, I think that might be right. And, you know, just being, not having it being in the wind was nice.
Yeah.
We ended up doing like a 20-mile day, but we kind of gathered up at the opposite Three Springs and said, you know, we can go ahead and camp here. It's windy. The sand is blowing everywhere.
Mm.
Or we can just, you know, push on a little further and make up a little more mileage.
Uh-huh.
So that's what we did. And
okay.
It worked out. It was fine. Yeah.
Good. And then after that was Past Diamond. Next
Past Diamond
day.
Well, we had opposite Travertine camp.
Okay.
Oh yeah, so we passed Diamond because opposite Travertine is below Diamond, and that was nice and warm. That was a nice day.
Okay.
Lots of flat water, but nice. Nobody slipped in 205.
Good.
Slip, which was good. And I was not expecting the water to be as fun below Diamond. Yeah, there's some really fun rapids downstream from there.
Indeed. So then below Travertine, you're going to need to run Killer Fang. And then Nice Canyon.
It's beautiful. And Killer Fangs was actually, I felt like I spent as much time figuring out what move I was going to make at the top on that one as I did, you know, some of the bigger ones back up river.
That's fine. It's worth taking your time to figure out what you're going to do.
the history of that rapid is,
yeah.
So it was, and we all had really good runs on it.
Good.
It was great. Yeah. And that campsite opposite of Travertine is really a nice warm camp.
Yeah.
So that was a kind of a treat. And we got it with probably an hour's worth of sunshine.
Ooh.
Direct sunlight when we got there. So it's like everybody is like, okay, I'm taking a bath.
Yeah, no kidding.
The river's not as cold as it has been, but it's still cold. But yeah, it was nice.
Yeah.
That's where we saw our most mice was in that camp. They were just running around in the sand in the evening while we had our fire. You could see them out of the corner of your eye.
Right. Okay.
But.
All right. And then, So your run out from opposite Travertine, you then worked down past. I'm assuming you made it then that day down past Separation, maybe.
Yeah.
We
stopped at Separation, said hi to the Naked Boaters one more time.
Okay.
They were camped there. They were taking a full month, and so they were stopping at every place you could physically get a group to camp.
Got it.
And just exploring.
Yeah.
Pretty sweet.
Yeah.
So we stopped and, you know, walked up that a little bit. Just, I'm a history nut, so I had to see that spot and go up to the cenotaph.
Cool.
And look at that. And our plan had been to stop at Separation, set up the kitchen, and do dinner in preparation for our night float. But since they were there, we went down a couple more miles and we weren't expecting to find anything big, but there's a huge beach on the right.
242, you betcha.
Yeah. I would camp there. That looked like
it's a lovely camp.
Campsite.
Yeah.
So we sat up there, had dinner, kind of hung out, getting toward dusk. While we still had light, we decided to, you know, raft up the rafts and did some engineering. That is my blue healer, Hera, if you hear that barking in the background.
Oh, very good.
Stacked up that we used Ben's little fat cat as the kayak hauler. So I have this great picture of all the kayaks stacked up in a pyramid on top of his little kayak, of his little cat.
Uh-huh.
Pretty funny.
So you had your 16 and you had the 3 18s, and you had the 12. What kind of starship did you make?
We did the 3 18s side to side.
Okay.
And then my cat across the bows of two of them, and then Ben butted up. So the cats overhung the outside of it a little bit, but it was kind of like a big box, big rectangle.
Okay, so the 3 18s are tied side to side. And
yep.
then your cat is like nose to tail in the back there or sideways
sideways across the front of two of the 18s.
Okay.
And then Ben's was nose to tail with me
uh-huh.
across the front of one and a half of
okay.
the 18s.
All right.
Yeah. And it was pretty tight. I mean, they did a really good job and we got up some, put up some, a light on one of the GoPro poles.
Okay.
And I think everyone was just like, oh yeah, these night floats are great. Yeah. Like hang out. And, you know, Alicia broke out her guitar and, you know, we'd been going to bed like by 8:30, just it's cold and dark. So
uh-huh.
we were all in that habit.
Yeah.
So it was cold. So I slept in my PFD. So I tried to sleep in my PFD. I ended up putting a bag of boots under my head to raise my back and my neck and shoulders up because my PFD is fairly fat. It's a high float.
Oh, right. Yeah. To make a pillow thing to make that work out. Yeah.
I'm laying on this thing. So, yeah. So I built a nest in my cat. I just took all my dry bags, filled the footwell. I have a floor in it,
mm-hmm.
a mesh floor.
Yep.
And I was actually pretty cozy in there.
Okay.
So I was on the outside edge. I put my head in the middle when I realized that we might be bumping into walls because I had originally had my feet toward the middle and then I flipped around. But yeah, I remember unless you're playing your guitar, we pushed off, start out, and then it all went quiet. And Smoove says, oh, my God, they're all asleep already. And that was the last thing I really remember. Still, a couple hours later, there were bats everywhere. So we kept thinking of the ranger that gave us the bat lecture in the summer, and that was all she could talk about was rabid bats attacking people.
Right.
I don't want to get attacked by a rabid bat. Anyway, all of a sudden, we hear bump, big bump, and then whammo. So that happened a couple times.
Okay.
And then, like, the third big bump, and this was waking us up out of a dead sleep. So, of course, I'm, like, sitting up and going, what? What is this? What's going on? Are we going over Pierce Ferry Rapids?
Right.
I hear Ryan go, oh, no, my oar. And he's in the 18er on the inside, and he lost an oar blade. One of the oar blades broke off on the middle. Yeah, so the boat that's supposed to be safe, it just got pinched in one of our big bumps.
Huh. Okay.
So we did have one oar blade fatality. That was it. And then the big bumps stopped. You know, once you get into where the sand banks are, the big bumps are just, you know, you bump into the sand. And then, yeah, I heard they fired up a stove and boiled some water for coffee, and then we all just sort of woke up and watched the sunrise. It was really cool.
And where were you when you woke up for sunrise?
I think we probably had an hour to go, maybe.
Okay.
An hour and a half to go. We gave ourselves plenty of time. It's typically what it take, like 12 hours to go from separation down to Pierce. And so the plan had been we'll start floating at 8:30 from separation.
Mm-hmm.
But we went further down, so we saved ourselves like 45 minutes, an hour. So we weren't rushed at all. We just did not want to be asleep at the wheel when...
Yeah.
You know, you're floating past the takeout.
Right.
So we gave ourselves plenty of time. And I'd say probably half an hour before we got to Pierce, we untied the rafts and kind of all peeled off and went, you know, picked our own line and avoided the sandbars. I was kind of surprised to see sandbars. I don't know what I expected. I've never been down there before.
Oh, okay.
Did get to see some sand calving off the banks, but that wall of sand is impressive.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Oh, we did stop at the, that ammunition storage cave thing, the...
Bridge Canyon Dam Site? No.
No, where they were way downriver, just upstream from Pierce. It was... Was that the day before? They walled up a cave on River Wright, and that was where they kept the explosives. Maybe that was Bridge Canyon. Is that way down there?
Yeah, there's a boarded kind of big thick boards in a little overhang kind of section. Yeah.
Looks like a little hermit hole up there.
Yeah, yeah, that would have been Bridge Canyon above separation. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've got my day checked.
Okay, so.
Yeah.
Looking back now, from the comfort of mid-March, mid-end March here, what would you do different? What are you going to do differently next time?
Next time? I'm definitely going to apply for cooler weather, cooler season permits. I would definitely do a winter trip again.
Okay.
I don't think I would do another August-September trip. That was just so hot.
Yeah.
You know, there's more wildflowers. It's greener, of course.
Yeah.
The water's warmer, so you can swim and stuff. But it just, for me, it just saps my energy.
Okay.
So, you know, when I'm on the boat on the river, it's not bad. But as soon as you get into camp, it's just,
any gear things you would do differently?
I brought a big bag of, we brought like the river toys, so bocce set and portable beanbag tots and just like toys. But even on our rest days, we didn't really break into them. So that was unnecessary to bring that bag. Probably didn't need to bring as much firewood. I know when Jeff and Shane headed back to West Virginia, they were road tripping. I just take the extra firewood and use it if you guys camp on the way home.
Uh-huh.
So we didn't need all of that firewood.
Okay.
When they loaded up, when we were packing at the, when we were rigging on rig day, I just sort of went along with where they said, okay, we're going to put these rocket boxes here. And the back end of my raft got loaded heavy. I would say play a more active role in how my boat gets loaded.
Okay.
The first time. I mean, I rearranged everything a day or two later, but, I mean, not really. I mean, it's,
okay.
I had, let's see, I brought a bunch of neoprene that I didn't end up wearing. In my wetsuit, just a pair of long johns, or my dry suit.
Yep.
With long johns, I was plenty warm. I mean, you're moving. Now, if you're just a passenger, it might be different.
Yes, that's right.
But
if you're rowing, you're generating, you're burning energy here. Yeah.
You're generating a lot of heat. Yeah. So I would not bring all that neoprene stuff.
I wanted to go back to something you mentioned about firewood. Did you guys have fires every night, or was that sort of every other night on occasion sort of thing?
Probably every other night, definitely on the rest day nights. If we got into camp at a, you know, earlier and people were feeling really energetic, and then the nights where we had grill dinners, like if we were grilling chops or burgers or whatever, and we had two fire pans. We had like your traditional big welded box fire pan, and then I brought my roll-up fire pan with a big weld. So it was definitely portable and easy. So we had several campfires.
Okay. Shelly, you just got very quiet. Did something just happen to your phone?
And also any nights where the breeze kicked up, because I didn't want to be responsible for starting a fire.
Okay. Shelly, your phone just got very quiet. Can you hear me okay?
Can you say that again?
Are you there?
There?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah. Sorry. What was your question?
Something just happened to your phone. You know, I tell you what, let's go ahead and conclude this V-Wave then. This has been very, very helpful to review this trip and go over what worked and what didn't work and what you'll do next time.
Yeah.
And is there anything else you'd like to add before we wrap it up?
I would say get as many of your friends that are river-minded as you can when you're applying for your permits, and everybody apply for the same date so that you can try to get one, because it's definitely... I'm ready to go again. I'm having a hard time readjusting to civilization.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
And you've only been back like 3 weeks or 2 or 3 weeks, huh?
I know. It's just been a couple weeks.
Oh, my gosh. It's magical. Yeah.
It is. It is.
Lovely. Shelly Martin, thank you so very, very much for this March 26th, 2024 V-Wave. And my name is Tom Martin, and... hope we get to visit on your next trip to Flagstaff.
Definitely.
All right. Have a good night.
Thanks, Tom. You too.